For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Thinking so much till you're losing your mind. There's a Steve Forbert song that I really like, and the lyrics go, well, don't you go thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking so much till you're stranded behind. Don't you go thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking so much till you're losing your mind. And in these days of the pandemic, I find myself go thinking and thinking and thinking so much till I'm losing my mind. And thoughts are simply what our minds do. You know, our minds generate thoughts. That's what they were designed to do. That's not good and that's not bad. It just is. But what's important is our relationship with those thoughts. It's essential that we become aware of the thoughts because they are a driving force in our mood, in our behavior, and ultimately in our lives. According to Michael Singer, the mind can be a dangerous place or a great gift. And we practice mindfulness to reduce the danger and enable it to be a great gift. The mind's dangerous when we're not aware of what we're thinking, or when we let our thinking go in a never-ending loop. And it's a great gift when we use it to see reality, problem solve, and determine the right next step. We have about 2,000 to 3,000 thoughts per hour, and we're not aware of most of those thoughts. I mean, people are usually surprised to hear we have that many thoughts. And about 90% of the thoughts that we have are reruns, rehashing the past or stirring up anxiety about the future. We can't control what thoughts come up. They're just going to come up. Our brains are designed to have thoughts. But we can learn to control our relationship to those thoughts. So our goal in meditation is not to stop the thoughts, but to change our relationship to them. And I see three types of relationships we can have with our thoughts. And of course, we can have some combination of the three, and we often move from one to the other. And the three relationships are lost in thought, head in the sand, or curious. When we're lost in thoughts, our thoughts become our master. We often have trouble changing the channel on our thoughts because we let anxiety take over. And then we get on the hamster wheel and just keep going around and around and around. And we tolerate this constant chatter in our minds, this chatter that's telling us how horrible we are, how we eat too much, we're fat and lazy, and we'll never be able to meditate. And we let that mental chatter go on and on until somehow we come to believe these ruminations, these judgments and worries. And we think they're an accurate representation of how our lives in the world really are. But what they really are is just thought bubbles. They're figments of our imagination. Thoughts are stories that pull us into a narrative, which might not be true. And they pull us away from what's happening in the present moment. For example, if you have the thought, I'm a bad meditator, while you're meditating, you're not feeling your breath, you're not feeling your body, you're up in your head saying, I'm a bad meditator, telling the story over and over. When we're lost in negative thinking, we can become distressed. Our prefrontal cortex stops working and our amygdala pushes us on the hamster wheel of reactivity. The wheel spins round and round and we can't get off no matter how hard we try. According to Ursa Beta, this is called cognitive shock, which turns off the cognitive mind's basic ability to function. When the thinking brain is on sabbatical, we simply can't think clearly. During cognitive shock, the old brain, which is based on survival and defense, takes over. At this point, we're likely to attack, withdraw, or go numb, none of which are conducive to awareness. The second relationship we might have is head in the sands. Sometimes when thoughts are unpleasant, we put our heads in the sand and try to ignore them. But when you ignore your thoughts, you think they go away, but they remain in your unconscious. No matter how hard you try to push them away, they keep coming back, sometimes without you even being aware. We have a natural resistance to feeling uncomfortable and unsafe. So when unpleasant thoughts swarm in our heads, we leave the present moment and we distract ourselves. But the resistance keeps us hooked. It takes a lot of energy to try and suppress your thoughts. Research studies show that suppression creates the very preoccupation that it's directed against. What happens when I say to you, don't think of a pink elephant? The thought in most everybody's mind is the pink elephant. And the harder we try to get rid of that song in our head, the stronger it gets. According to Ursa Beta, our deeply believed thoughts of personal insecurity may not be evident on the surface in a given situation. Truthfully, we're often unaware of their presence, but their poisonous footprint often manifests itself in our anger, blame, depression, and shame. These deeply believed and well-hidden thoughts of insecurity thus act like radar, and we often seek out experiences that confirm our beliefs are true, the classic self-fulfilling prophecy. Michael Singer says, when you resist, the energy has no place to go. It gets stuck in your psyche and seriously affects you. It blocks your heart's energy flow and causes you to feel closed and less vibrant. This is literally what's happening to you when something is weighing on your mind or when things just get too heavy for you. Our reflex to resist stiffens our body by contracting our muscles, and it also contracts our mind. Our prefrontal cortex stops working, and our amygdala does our thinking. The old brain, which is based on survival and defense, takes over. And that's why we withdraw or we go numb. Unfortunately, when we put our head in the sand, it closes down the possibility of making more skillful choices. Curiosity is a more skillful way to deal with our thoughts. This judgment-free thinking does not come naturally. It needs to be learned. It requires us to step back and take off our rose or dark color glasses. We attempt to see reality as it is, without distorting it. We acknowledge that the past can't be changed, and we get creative about choosing our next words or actions. So you might want to try becoming curious about the bias stories that you tell yourself. They begin with your eyes and ears telling a biased story to your brain, which then tells you another biased story, and each stop along the way in this game of telephone gets you a little further away from reality. The most dangerous bias we have is our memory of the past. We think our memory of the past is reality, but our brains are not video recorders, they take photos. We fill in the spaces between the photographs to make up our stories of the past. We concoct what we think happened. And when we're believing the stories of our past, we're actually just believing a figment of our imagination. When we're curious about our thoughts, we can find that many of our thoughts feel real, but are not really true. And we can choose to change the channel on our untrue thoughts, but it's not easy to do. The way we learn to do that is by meditating. Meditating slows us down enough so that we're aware we have thoughts. Until we're aware of our thoughts, we can't do anything with them. When we're not aware of our thoughts, our minds are dangerous. And when we are aware of our thoughts, our minds can be a great gift. We identify thoughts as simply that, thoughts. When we're curious about our thoughts, we see they're not reality, not the way things really are. And more important, our thoughts are not who we are. They may be a little part of us, but they're not all of us. Sometimes we let our thoughts limit us. The thought, I'm a bad meditator, leads us to not want to meditate. And when we do meditate, we have the thought, I'm a bad meditator, confirming in our minds that our initial thought was true. So let's take a moment to just reflect on how you've been managing your relationship with your thoughts. So get in a comfortable position. You may choose to close your eyes. And just for a moment, think about what relationship do you have with your thoughts? What's your default? Is it getting lost in thought? Is it putting your head in the sand? Is it getting curious about your thoughts? Or something else? It's important to realize that we can't turn our thoughts off. So if we think that becoming mindful or meditating is going to help us to turn thoughts off, we're going to be really disappointed. Meditation is all about seeing into the stream of thoughts. When we see the thoughts, we become the master and they lose their power over us. With practice, we can choose what we want to do with the thoughts. If we're aware of a thought, we can choose whether we want to remain lost in thought, whether we want to believe the thought, and whether we want to allow that thought to influence our words and actions. Mindfulness practice allows us to look deeply at our thoughts in a kind and judgmental way. And that's really important as we're looking at our thoughts and reflecting. If you normally put your head in the sand or get lost in thought, you can look at it in two ways. One is you can judge yourself. And if we judge our thoughts, we're practicing judgment and we can get really good at judging. But we can also be kind to ourselves to realize that we're doing the best we can with the skills and the knowledge we have right now. And we can look at it kindly and practice kindness so we can become very good at being kind to ourselves. So mindfulness is not just about seeing the thoughts, but looking at them in a curious, kind, non-judgmental way. So we learn that the thoughts and the stories may always be present, but they're not necessarily always true. Our mindfulness practice helps us to work with our thoughts in two very important ways. First, we become aware of the constant torrent of thoughts. And second, we learn to extricate ourselves from the stories that we create. So becoming aware of the constant torrent of thoughts cascading through our minds happens when we become more mindful. We become more aware of our thoughts and the contents of our own thoughts. We notice our habits of mind and we notice how repetitive our thinking is. You simply listen to your thoughts with mindful awareness. It's like you're watching that thought on a movie screen. Here it is again. You see the effervescent nature of thoughts, that they're all fleeting ideas. They're here for a moment and they disappear. As you're looking at your torrent of thoughts, you want to pay close attention to whether you're adding on to the thought. Typically, we add the thought, something's wrong, either wrong in general or more likely wrong with another person or with ourselves. Looking at the sun, we start to think tomorrow's supposed to be gray and we're no longer in the present moment enjoying the sun. We're in the future seeing the gray sky. So we want to become aware of all the thoughts that we have cascading through our mind. And once we're aware of those thoughts, we can learn to extricate ourselves from the stories that we're constantly creating. We have to develop skills to disentangle ourselves from all of our thoughts. We can realize that just because you have a thought doesn't mean you have to believe it, much less act on it, and certainly not get caught up in the whole stream of thoughts. We discover with great relief that our thoughts do not fully define us. We need to acknowledge the experience of a story unfolding and feel the emotions and body sensations related to that story. If we can feel the body sensations, that can be our bell of mindfulness. Uh-oh, I'm going into this story again. And we can stop and take a breath to look at things more clearly instead of jumping on the hamster wheel and going round and round. This allows us to not identify with or become lost in the thought. We can transform one-sided thoughts of certainty into a world of liberating possibilities. Instead of saying, I'm a bad meditator, we can think when our mind wanders again and again, I'm getting more practice bringing my mind back. So we have lots of options if we can stop and disentangle ourselves from our thoughts. The reason we're so interested in our thoughts is because we don't want to create more mental suffering for ourselves or for anyone else. Our mental suffering comes from desperately holding on to our thinking and our beliefs. We want to still ourselves by practicing meditation so that we can become aware of all that's going on. We want to slow down the mental chatter so we can actually see what's happening. And we want to rest in the spacious embrace of the loving heart instead of getting lost in the negative thoughts. So meditation is the tool we use to get intentional use of both attention and awareness. We want to see what we're paying attention to and become aware of what's going on around us. All we're doing when we're meditating is choosing what we're going to attend to and how we're going to attend to it. Remember, the point of meditation is not to get rid of thoughts, but to learn to see the thoughts skillfully and change our relationship to them. So don't you go thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking so much till you're losing your mind. Instead, may your mind be your greatest gift.